Hello, before this episode of Slack Debate starts, this one is about transit, and specifically the transit in Toronto. So Joel brings up a petition that he started, and if you would like to see the petition, the URL is tinyurl.com/TTCpetition. So we'll get into it more in the episode, but if you're from Toronto, go to tinyurl.com/TTCpetition, so you'll have it there and you're all set for when we get to the part about the petition, and I'll say the URL again at the end of the episode. All right, here is Slacktivate Episode 2.
The one I want to get out there because I have a petition on the go, so... did you sign up?
Sign it. I don't know what this is.
Oh, it's on Facebook.
Okay, yeah, but I'm not a big Facebooker.
I started a time-based transfer petition. So basically, I'm trying to get 1,000 signatures to...
Oh, I'll sign that for sure.
Okay, cool. And then share, please.
All right, so you want to kick it off this time?
Yeah, sure. All right. So the issues, folks. We're talking about the issues. I'm here with Mustard Mike, who is just a go-with-the-flow. He's just riding this the wave of the system, and it's working out just ducky for him. We're here with also the trust fund hobo, Keith McNally, who is... subverting the system, and it's also working out for him nicely. And there's me, and my name's Squid Pod Joel, and yeah, shit sucks, man. And yeah, let's talk about transportation, and specifically transit.
Like riding on cocks, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Now, are you talking about, like, riding dirty?
I'm talking about riding dirty.
I'm here to suggest that this whole administration has been riding dirty for far too long, and it's time we do something about it.
But you know what? I'm just going to say this, but Weird Al's White and Nerdy is a superior song.
A lot of times that happens. The first time, I mean, I was a Weird Al fan always, like my whole life, but the first time I really liked his song better was Smells Like Nirvana. Like, yeah. I was not a Nirvana fan, all of Nevermind. I just didn't give a fuck till In Utero came out. But I loved Smells Like Nirvana. He sped it up a little. It was literally better.
Yeah, well, I don't know. White and Nerdy is like, because I heard it before I heard Flo Rida. Sorry, yeah, I'm very cool.
I think that was Chameleon Air, you piece of shit.
Or whatever. Chameleon Air, sorry.
Pronounced Florida.
Oh, okay. And I was just like, this is the most amazing song ever. Who is this? Because I heard it at the end of some podcast, and I'm like, it's fucking Weird Al? Serious? It's great.
Man, some of Weird Al's originals are awesome. His best song to this day, it's like a style pastiche of Oingo Boingo, and it's called You Make Me. So fucking good. It's great. And some of his original songs are awesome. Hardware Store, you wouldn't think, from Poodle Hat. Sounds dumb. It's just about a guy excited for a hardware store to open. Really good song.
Ah, okay. I'm gonna look up that one because I don't know it offhand. So yeah, all right.
He has a song. It's like 16 minutes long called Albuquerque from Running with Scissors, and you're enthralled every second. It's so good.
Okay,
this is turning into a Weird Al podcast. Yeah, sure, I love him. So good.
Anyway, so yeah, we're all transit riders. Yeah.
Yeah, I rode it here today to get here, and. You know what is annoying? This has really happened today, too, and I feel like this may be applicable. So I got my little tokens, which are like, you know, $2.75 a piece or whatever, slightly reduced from $3. Take the train to Dufferin Station, get off to go to Walmart, bought myself a rice cooker today.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like I was planning to walk here to meet you guys, but time was running out. I wasn't going to make it, so I have to put another token in to go a couple more stops and then take the streetcar down Bathurst, this other little tiny extra ride. When, if we were on, say, a timed system, like Vancouver, say, I wouldn't have had to spend the extra token.
Well, so here's the thing is, like, in the summertime, I ride Jet to school on my bike. And I
now, Jet, I should say Jet is your son, because that sounds like you have a jet-propelled bicycle.
Yeah. Sorry, Jet is mom.
Or you're taking your jet on your bicycle. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I ride my son to school, you know, on my bike, and we've been doing this until, like, the winter months, in which now we have to, you know, wake up my wife and my other son, and we have to drive to school.
Your other son, Rocket Man.
Yeah, my other son, SUV. It's annoying. Because the other day, I dropped him off at school. Him and I took transit. It's 75 cents for him. I don't care. I don't mind paying that. I paid my token. And then I drop him off. And I'm on the same line. And I'm going to work. And, like, I drop him off for 15 minutes. Then I get back and have to pay another $3.
Yeah, that happens to me. The same thing coming the other way. Sometimes I pick up your son from school. And it's so close to your house. But with his tiny little four-year-old legs, I mean, and after a day of school, it's too far. But yeah, I gotta get off, get him, and then put in another token and a dollar for him or whatever. Like, and yeah, it's just like we're right there. We just got this little thing, like
And you know, like, and I don't want to put any TTC drivers on blast, but I said honestly, I literally just got off a streetcar like 15 minutes ago, and he's like, it's fine, just get on.
Wow, well, it's nice that he did, because that's one thing. I don't have to get into it right now, but I've never been more mad at people in my life than transit drivers. Once here in Toronto and once in Vancouver, like that thing where it's like a big problem of transit people being attacked. And here and in New York, like, it's a big thing. And it happens because they're pieces of shit.
I can't think of any other job in the world where you have to put signs up that say, don't hit us.
And it's because they will not bend. They don't care about your circumstances. Generally, you got lucky, Joel. But it must be a shitty job. But don't take it out on me, man. Come on.
Well, and I kind of feel like I get away with this a lot more because this isn't the first time I've done this. And it's just kind of because I have that face that's like, I mean it. Like I have an honest face, I guess.
Right. You're affable.
Yeah, sure. And so, like, quite typically people are like transit workers are like, okay, whatever, dude.
You know, I was thinking if Joel had a 1950s era sitcom, it could be, he's affable, he's laughable, it's Joel.
Yeah, so, but...
You can use that.
Thank you.
That's under Creative Commons license.
So this got me thinking about time-based transfers, because back in my hometown of Calgary, it was time-based. So you had 90 minutes, and Calgary is a much smaller place.
I was going to say, you're from the civilized world.
not quite. But a 90-minute transfer means that you can stop somewhere, pick up some milk or whatever you have to do, get back on the same train, and carry on your way home, right? And with our system right now of the pay-per-stop sort of thing, if you have a Metro Pass, great. But for people like me who, like, I stopped buying Metro Passes once I bought a bike because I'm trying to be a hippie or be environmental or whatever, and bike more.
The Metro Passes aren't the best deal unless, like, even if you travel, like, to and from work 5 days a week, it's still not a good deal. I think you have to also use it a couple times on the weekend and stuff like that for it to be worth it. So, like, yeah, it's they make it to a point where you know, it's just right on the limit.
Yeah, like, I always bought monthly passes in Vancouver, mostly because, once I first bought one, like, just that it just opened up the city to me where I wasn't thinking anymore about what things cost, and that was nice. But it was affordable there. I don't remember exactly how much it was in 2005, 2006, but it was way less than here. It was something like $60, maybe 70.
Yeah, because I remember in Calgary it was about $70, but I mean, you know, that was a while ago, so, you know.
Even here, like, on the smaller scale of not the month, but the day pass, I bought a day pass a couple of weeks back, and you have to take transit, like, 5 times, and that gets you ahead by $1. Like, you really got to take it at least 6 times in a day, and it's like, just... Like, what the fuck? Will you give me a deal here? Come on.
Although it is worth mentioning that I think, you know, day passes and Metro passes are transferable. There's no, like, they used to have pictures on them. Now it's just like you can give it to your friend or whatever. So, like, I guess it has more value that way, or like you can share it with your wife or whatever.
Right. Sure, as long as you have friends or a wife, right? Like a lot of people aren't, they're not sharing these things. I mean, you know, maybe we need an Uber for transit passes. But, you know, like...
We were kind of due, because when I worked at the coffee shop in Vancouver, I forgot all about this, but there was this kid Ryan that worked there, and we used to do that. We used to trade, like we had a communal pass. Like, I would get to work and give it to him so he could go home type of shit.
No, I mean, that's awesome, actually. Like, yeah, the other day I had to meet some people for lunch from work. And I just kind of asked around the office. I'm like, does anybody have a Metro Pass I can borrow? And they're like, yeah, sure. So, I mean, on that respect, it's cool. But the thing about time transfers is that there's such an advantage to having them. It's like, not only does it help people, like, with lower income because they can actually accomplish what they need to accomplish under a reasonable amount of money, but it's also better for, like, retail stores. Like, there's so many times where my wife has texted me on my way home from work and been like, can you pick up wine? I'm like, I passed it already. You know, or, you know, I don't want to stop and walk, you know, like, 8 blocks home with, a couple of bottles of wine.
Yeah, but then you got to deal with going home without any wine. And Jen needs her grape drink.
That is a very good point, Mike, and that's why usually I'll walk the 8 blocks, you know, but it's kind of a thing where it's like, if I had a time-based transfer, I would stop and shop. So this is a boon.
Stop, shop, and roll.
Yeah, stop, shop, and roll. So, okay, so number one, it's a benefit to low-income families, because let's face it, high-income families don't fucking take transit. It's a fact. You know, like, it's low to middle income people take transit.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is that, I mean, I don't want to go so far as to call myself a hero, but not only do I not have a car, I don't even have a license. I'm saving the earth here with all my transiting, and they're making it way too hard on me. Like, I'm trying to do the right thing, because I have to, because I don't have a car and don't know how to drive. But
you know what, Keith? I'm going to go ahead and call you a hero.
Thank you.
I'm going to say it. You're a superhero.
Wow.
Yeah, but it really is, like, they're always like, yeah, take transit and, you know, blah, 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 and it's good for things and carbon footprints and blah, 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 except here in Toronto, it's the most I've lived in New York, I've lived in Vancouver, I've lived all over the fucking place. I've visited Montreal many times, my grandma lives there. It's the most expensive here of anywhere I've lived, and it's the worst transit.
And you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, and it's mainly that nobody wants to pay for it.
Well, that's something I couldn't believe it when I first moved here. And I'm like, $3 for transit? Jesus, like, that's more than anywhere. And then they give me a piece of fucking paper as a transfer. It's like, where am I? On a fucking Rice-A-Roni box? What is happening? This is not the present that I'm in.
What do they usually give you? Like a small Mexican child to follow you around?
Yeah, just to keep me honest.
Right.
Like, senor, take the 10 bus.
No, honestly, I'm seriously curious.
Vancouver.
What's a transfer in other... Another city.
Well, in Vancouver and New York doesn't have time transfers, but in Vancouver and New York, both, it's like Metro cards, you know? It's like the card that you put in, like where you get in Toronto and you put your coins in the 1930s style fucking zoetrope machine or whatever.
Driver is not even paying attention. Like, you could put, like, and I have put a dime in before, and they're like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not paying attention to this Nickelodeon device that I have. But yeah, no, it's you put in your card, and like it goes in, like zoop, zoop, and comes back out. And in New York, it was like a plastic card that you kept all the time and you refilled. And in Vancouver, it was paper, but paper with like a magnetic strip that.
Okay. Yeah, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, Hong Kong had a similar system.
I think every major world-class city has a system like that, except Toronto.
Yeah, because how would they even, under the paper system, how would they even keep track of the 90 minutes? Like, but I mean, they got the new streetcars and stuff now. Like, I don't know. How does that work? Isn't the new streetcars, like,
it's... The new ones are, they're a pay... I don't know what comes out of it. Possibly rainbows. I'm not sure, but...
But it's more the honor system type of thing, right? Like,
yeah. Wait, what? So you have a token. What do I do with it?
So you put it in the machine, and then it either spits out your transfer. I haven't taken one yet, so I don't know. But my understanding is that on the train, you put the token in, and it spits out your ticket.
You don't deal with the driver at all?
You don't deal with the driver at all.
Yeah, because the new streetcars are extremely long and ugly. They look like the new subways, except outside. I think it's a terrible design, but they're really long. It's like more, so you don't have to get in at the front. You can get in wherever.
Do you guys remember Dune, like David Lynch's Dune?
I'm only a fan of Jodorowsky's Dune. As far as I'm concerned, David Lynch's Dune never happened.
Not his movie.
But in David Lynch's Dune, it looks like a bunch of Fremen were about to spill out of our current new streetcar. I don't know. Well, watch Dune, you'll get the reference I'm talking about.
And you'll laugh and laugh.
You'll be like, ha ha, oh, Joel.
Oh, laughable Joel.
Another triumph. Yeah. So, but
another triumph. Look, giving himself credit.
But yeah, so that's the thing is, and I strongly believe that like a big problem with transit in this province is that we're too big. We're the biggest city in Canada. Nobody wants to fund our transit. Provincial government kicks in a paltry amount for transit. But ultimately, like the federal government should be funding us, or at least partially, because we're this big, like we're massive.
Well, and if I remember right, I mean, I don't have any facts or anything to back up these vague things that I recollect, but if I remember right, New York's transit system does turn a profit, but it is horrifying. It's like the movie Seven. It's like the first murder with the fat guy that he made eat himself to death. That's honestly what their subways look like. They're greasy and gross and weird and horrible, but it makes a profit. Vancouver, its transit is so gorgeous and beautiful.
I love that transit.
Yeah, and this sounds ridiculous, but it's not even an exaggeration. Is there SkyTrain, which is just a monorail with two rails? When it is starting up, it sounds like an orchestra tuning. It is gorgeous. Now, what I heard is that Vancouver's transit loses a lot of money every year. It's like way subsidized by the provincial government. But so what? Good.
Well, and this is the thing is like, you know, those of us who pay taxes, I assume we all do. I'm not gonna judge.
Well, I was gonna say real quickly. It kind of reminds me of like when we got into housing a bit last time. It's like it's not optional. Like you need a place to live. You need transit. You need to be able to take it. So if it's losing money, so what? Like we're humans on the earth, and this is what we need to have. Let's make this happen.
Well, and when you consider like how many, and this gets me back to my corporate thing. Corporations don't pay taxes, so
they pay taxes.
No, they don't. They've rewritten so many rules in order to not pay taxes.
In order to reduce their taxes and stuff, I'm sure.
And
but
by
like,
reduce, you mean don't pay any at all?
I don't know. Do you have any evidence of that?
I have tons of evidence. Not with me, but for next time, Mike, I will bring it up. Yeah, the tax cuts to corporations are insane.
I like this. This could be two future episodes. Like when you listen back to this, you'd be like, "Okay, make a note of that. This will be a show later."
Corporations. I'm not going to say every corporation, but most of the multinationals do not pay taxes to our country. So they're allowed to operate here, but they don't pay taxes here. And
I never saw no GE taking the subway, I'll tell you that.
Word them up.
GE bot that runs it. He's become sentient.
They are people. So I would like to see a corporation take a streetcar.
That would be. Imagine that if there was an X-Men storyline that Joss Whedon wrote where the Danger Room became sentient and formed itself into a being that wanted to kill the X-Men because that's all it ever knew. But imagine that if corporations did that happened. It was like Judgment Day and they turned into robots that were like real and then they were just like, I'm sorry. Holy shit. Like, I didn't mean to do all that stuff. That wasn't me.
Wow. Yeah. No. It's actually, it would make you crazy when you actually realize that like multinationals have given so many have given tax cuts to the point where they don't pay anymore, and this is the problem is because this is why the world's wealth is being distributed so unevenly is because the companies that are making the most money in this country and virtually every country on the planet aren't actually putting money back into the country, right? So that's why we're getting so fucking pinched. And, you know, the narrative we're fed is that it's our fault on some level. There's more people, there's more this, there's more that. But the truth is like the wealth is just not going back into the countries. It's going apparently to bank accounts that are offshore, and I don't know what happens. I honestly don't know what happens to billionaires' money.
This message brought to you by Miss Murder by AFI.
Nice.
The soundtrack of revolution.
Nice. So the thing is like, to me, like when we talk about transit funding, I mean, we have to pressure our local governments to do time transfers because we fucking need them. And our transit is fucking bullshit. And where they get the money from is unfortunately their problem. But I would suggest that they maybe get it from corporate taxes, which don't exist. Anyway.
So what do you have? Do you have some kind of like way of making this happen? Or are you just going to be shouting at the rooftops?
So part of my strategy is to just yell into a sock and then fart into that sock and then just throw it.
That he jacked up into this morning?
Of course it is. But my second plan is to start a petition, which I have started. So I've started a petition, and unfortunately I can't remember the link right now, but we'll put it on our show, which is at slackdevate, no K, .ca. And I'll post the petition there. Please sign it. Please share it. The goal is for 1,000 signatures. We're going to give it to our fine mayor, John Tory, and see what he does with it.
Now, how does this work? If people aren't in Toronto, would that be of any use, or is it better just for Toronto signatures?
It's probably best if you're in Toronto. If you're not from Toronto, it's probably going to be considered stupid. That's a legal term, by the way. Yeah. And I think as our podcast gets going, I would personally like to put our money with our big fat mouths and try and offer you the listeners other activist solutions. If it is a petition, I mean, I don't know what else to fucking do, to be honest. So let's start there. We'll figure out more later.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Joel.
Sorry, say that again.
Let me ask you this, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's like, well, let's just talk about, I guess, the nature of slacktivism is like, I mean, it's cool that you've got this thing set up and some people have already signed it. And it's like, and I mean, but I guess like I've never believed in being able to change things. So
the entire philosophy of slacktivism is like, essentially you change your picture on your Twitter account and therefore you support or have done something. I'm kind of tired of doing that. I'm tired of watching like what I believe to be justice and what's right just kind of be like a passive thing because everybody's living their lives, right? So what I personally want to do is if I say like, okay, let's sign a petition, I'm going to take it to the mayor and present it. I will do it personally. Because I really feel like you can't change world issues without changing small issues. So if you care about something and you think it's honestly going to affect the public good in some way, you need to act on it because what are you going to do? Just watch X Factor again? You know, like, is that even a thing? I'm sorry.
You're just too much of a Britophile. Yeah.
No, there was a X Factor USA briefly, but
yeah, got canceled. Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess like I don't know. I guess like the idea of trying to change outside things, like it is just like so frustrating and impossible. So I guess that's where I'm more just, I'm like, I'll just worry about myself or whatever. But the more I kind of think about whatever I can do to improve myself and make my life better or whatever, then it like makes me want to take that next step, where the more confident I feel in myself and I'm like, all right, cool, I think I'm starting to get this together, now let's take that next step out. So it's like, I want to believe, you know?
It's very simple. Like, to me, it's very simple. It's like, if you act in your own community, like, it's so small. The smallest thing you can do is the most important thing you can do. Because small things affect big things. And it takes time. So, like, let's say, you know, our petition is a success and we do get time-based transfers, which there's always some there's already some headway there. One route in TTC is doing time-based transfers, and they're doing it as an experiment. So now is the time to strike on this, because the door's open a little bit. There's a crack open, right? So let's just say we want it now. And so, okay, let's say we do that. Think about all the things that, like, sort of bug you on a day-to-day basis. Chances are that same thing bugs a lot of people. And if you just kind of endure it, then...
2.5 men.
For example, you know what? A massive letter-writing campaign could also cancel a show.
See, I guess that's, you know, 2.5 men, as weird as this is, it's not the worst example in a way of, like, I guess I more prefer the idea of, like, not trying to deal with bureaucracies and stuff and just figuring out what you can do yourself to change things in your life. But then stuff like transit, like, you can't really, like, unless you just, like, well, I'll just bike everywhere. Like, I just won't use it. That's the only personal alternative to changing these things. And it's kind of like with 2.5 men, you could write as many letters as you want or whatever, but if it has ratings, it won't stop. But there is a governing body that could make it stop. Like, that network could absolutely just make it stop. The president of that network could cancel that show.
Yeah.
If everybody who watched 2.5 Men went, oh my God, this is such bullshit, and wrote a letter saying, this is not helping your advertisers whatsoever, then that show can get canceled.
I don't know. I disagree. You could write a million letters and it's not going to make a difference, because they still have shareholders to answer to. And if it's making money and if it's bringing in advertising dollars, like, the numbers don't lie. Who cares about all these letters? If it's turning crazy profits, then they're never going to cancel it. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like in some ways, maybe, like, in that example of, like, what is it, NBC? Who makes that show?
I don't know.
ABC?
CBS, I think.
CBS, okay. So, writing letters, I feel like the thing the letters might do is then if Johnny CBS was like, yeah, this show is, like, literally detrimental to society, I'm going to axe it come hell or high water. That could happen. And it kind of seems weirdly similar with the TTC, like, the point of the petitions and stuff would still be to make somebody in power that can just do these, like, jump the turnstile and make things happen, yeah, to make it happen.
Yeah, I feel like the 2.5 men example is terrible, because people with a Nielsen box could just be leaving it on for their dog while they're at work. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, the truth is probably, like, middle America likes it. Who cares?
Well, even in that example, though, of, like, shareholders and stuff with, like, a TV show, so it's not going to end because it makes money, like, I feel like that is kind of a similar thing, because, like, fiscally, the idea of, like, oh, TTC's got to, like, well, we got to charge this much and it's got to work this way, and so you use 2 tokens, but that'll help our bottom line and stuff. And I feel like something like transit, it just works better when it is more the Vancouver way. If they're like, yeah, we're losing money every year and we just don't care, and that's just how it is because people need transit. Like, that's just a better, I think, way to look at a public service like that.
I think, like, I've worked for corporations before where the truth of the matter is that it's not about how much money a thing makes or loses. It's about what column it falls in on the Excel spreadsheet. Right, so if you've got a transit window that's only budgeted for a certain amount, there might be a surplus right next to it, and that money will never get applied back to that transit budget. Like, let's say we saved a bunch of money on electricity. You know, we would never throw that excess money over into transit, you know, which is kind of like a weird, it becomes a bureaucracy thing. It really does become like, let's just expand the budget, you know, because the total amount of money is like, there's surpluses and deficits all over the place, but nobody goes like, okay, we had a surplus here, let's move it over here. And that's sort of the nature of like how these like mega bureaucracies work is nobody thinks about big picture. They think about their specific column. And I'm not saying that that's what's happening with the TTC. I'm saying that we're the fucking customers, we're the taxpayers, we're the people who live in the city. This is what we goddamn want. You guys sort out the rest of it because it's not our problem.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still a company trying to make money. It's like, I want free transit for everyone. Like, it's doesn't. You know,
I was just gonna bring that up, though. I don't think that's so crazy. Shall I go on?
But where's this money coming from?
Well, basically, I mean, to take it way back, like, I really do feel like society in general, it's just like being on the playground. It's like, I remember when I was in elementary school, like, it was amazing how much we would organize and we would make up stuff. Like, our playground would always get flooded, and we had this whole system where we came up with the idea that if we could make a canal to take the water from the playground into the teacher's parking lot, it would flood the parking lot, and then they'd have to cancel school because their cars would be flooded. It really
pretty smart.
Wouldn't have ever really worked. But we organized and we made that happen every day. We tunneled out canals and we pushed water with our feet and stuff. And as I grow up, I just feel like society is just a bigger version of that. Like
it absolutely is. And this is the thing, Mike. Is like you're right. Yeah, it's a company, but that's my whole issue. Is why are these things companies? Why do they have to make a profit? Like this is the public sector. The public sector shouldn't make money. It should be a drain on resources.
Yeah, because it's not an optional thing. Like, there is never a point where it's like, well, this didn't work out and it's not making money, so no more transit. Like, we just can't let that happen. That's not a possibility.
Like this is why business should pay. Like, business and you know, the wealthy should pay more taxes. Like, I'm all for people being rich. I like the ideas. You know, you invent something, you become super rich. But there's super rich, and then there's fucking insane rich that you could never spend in your lifetime. And your kids can't spend it. And your grandkids can't spend it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're looking at the kind of wealth that, like, 10 generations can't spend your wealth, I kind of feel like some of that money should go back to people living in, you know, this time. And transit is a perfect thing.
I really feel too with transit, like it's weird these half measures. Like now that I live in the middle of nowhere, I live at Islington Station, and like Islington or Royal York, like there's buses going up and down these streets all night. Like, cause I walk around at 3 a.m. and like, it's just a bus going by with no one in it or one person. And it's just going up and down the street all night. So like the half measures are weird to me. Like either make it an actual business where you wouldn't do things like that and you would only have one bus an hour and like actually do it in a way that's fiscally responsible, or just accept that this is a public service that people need and it's not gonna make money. It's not a money-making venture that can make money, so just stop trying to make money. And then, yeah, like what if it was free? What so what?
Yeah, well, and that's sort of the thing is like, if transit was free, a lot of people wouldn't own cars, you know, and that's not a bad thing in this current time. You know?
It seems so weird too, just like nickel and diming us with our weird little $3 tokens. It's like the infrastructure is all there. It's this thing that helps the city that everyone can use and everyone needs. And like
nickel and diming, like how many fares are in one day? It's a lot,
right?
They make a ton of money. And, like, where's that money coming from? It's got to come from other things than if you're just going to give it free to everyone.
So, yeah, it does have to come up from other
things. I get it. You're just like, oh, I think this should be free because wouldn't that be great? But there's, like, an economy. There's money that needs to, you know what
no,
I mean?
Like, I understand. I'm not saying it, like, in my utopia, it's absolutely free. Transit is free in my utopia,
yeah.
But I don't live in my utopia.
But the thing is, there are things that are free. The library is free. Like, we decide what is free. We decide what the city is going to pay for.
Yeah, but the library isn't doesn't cost nearly as much money as the TTC does to run.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, the TTC is more important. Like, the TTC is, like, so important. It's like...
I will say this for Toronto, having lived in Calgary. In Calgary, libraries aren't free. You know, like, a library card costs you a certain amount of money. It's more of a user fee. Like, I mean, I think the library as a whole is heavily subsidized. But pools aren't free. Pools are free here. In fact, that threw me off the first time I went to a public pool in Toronto.
Just pulling out your wad. Oh, Joel spilled a beer and broke a glass. That's pretty bad.
So, pools, right?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Can you pause it for a second?
Yeah, second.
Yeah,
so we took a brief break because Joel spilt his glass and broke it and got beer and glass everywhere.
I'm a hand talker, what can I say? I was gesturing to something large, like, this is the biggest...
Like, utter reform for the TTC?
Fucking, yes!
Unfortunately, your notes now have beer all over them and are illegible. So I guess we need to bring this ship in for a landing and, I don't know...
Yeah.
No, I mean, not immediately, but so...
I forget what point I was so emphatically making before I spilled beer everywhere, but...
Well, I think in general, me and you were talking about the illusory nature of the economy, and Mike was more the reality of the economy, where we want TTC to, like, so what if it's free? Who cares?
Right. Yeah, we were talking about, like a free TTC. Like, I mean, okay, so let's... Just follow me on this thought experiment, okay? Let's say that instead of making money, was a private...
What if the TTC was there to make people happy? That's valuable.
I'm not even saying that, because there's no force on Earth that can make that possible. No, let's just say that instead of our priority being making money, let's say our priority was the environment. Was reducing our carbon emissions, right? So if you were to look at things that way, thank you so much for the new beer. Amazing. Yeah,
keep it there when you're talking. Yeah.
Now, no heavy gesturing.
No heavy gestures. So let's say environmental protection is our priority. If you were to make transit free... then you would see a massive, massive decrease in cars on the road, which, for those people who still drive, would reduce gridlock. It would.
Great. So with your awesome plan, you not only are gonna cripple the economy by somehow making TTC free, but also you're gonna take away jobs.
How do you figure?
People don't make cars anymore.
I can't wait for cars to be gone. Oh, I want that world.
Oshawa closed. People don't make cars. We buy all our cars from overseas anyway. Or most of our cars are bought overseas. If, like, there's very few car manufacturers on this continent anymore. Like, Detroit is a fucking wasteland. That was Motown, man.
It really is, too, such a weird system, like a temporary system, because I was reading, it's this book called The World is Flat that Thomas Friedman wrote that's really good, but he was talking about how North America, we had our boom time, oh, we got cars, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, amazing, all these cars that we got to drive. But now China hit the point where they've got a giant population and they're at the point of industrialization that they all get to have cars, but it's way more than us. And the industrialization of the whole thing and the carbon emissions and stuff, like, it's fucking destroying everything. But now we're trying to tell them they're not allowed to have cars when we got to have cars for 100 fucking years. And, like, cars are just, they were never a sane design. It still seems nuts to me when I just see someone driving around. There's one person, in a gigantic, like, thing that weighs a ton that is, like, so expensive and uses a non-renewable resource just so they can fucking drive around and do nothing. Like, what are these people even doing? I hate cars.
Well, and then there's so many problems. Like, because of cars, we've seen things turn into big box. Like everything's like a big box store. I was thinking about this, like, because I've been, and again, this is for another show, but I've been thinking about being more responsible with my food. And it's so fucking hard. Because where I need to shop, you know, like... I would love to go to a local butcher or a local grocer.
Butcher? I just met her.
There you go.
I just read an article today about the suburbs and, yeah, like how you can't live there without a car. Like, it's the whole thing is designed for cars. Like, we've really gotten ourselves into a weird corner with these cars. Like, it's just a bizarre system.
The entire design of everything is based around the automobile.
You know, I think about sometimes, because, like, yeah, cities are clearly built around cars, right?
Like,
yeah.
Well, less so though. I mean, cities at least do have transit and stuff, and like I walk everywhere where that's just not possible in non-city settings.
Even cities like Toronto, like it's all roads. It's a network of roads that are designed for cars. Like, if cars weren't a thing, like, what would cities look like?
So, did you ever see, I didn't say there's a drawing, a guy did like a painting where it's a city setting, but all the roads are pits instead. And yeah, it's like, this is what life is like for a pedestrian, because these are the places you can't go, because it's for your cars to drive around.
There was a documentary I saw that I can't remember the name, but it was talking about cities in general. And there's a city being built in the United Arab Emirates, and it's not Dubai, because Dubai is the oil, like, woo, let's just fucking cheap energy, fuck everything. There's a city outside of Dubai that has been designed in the exact opposite way, where it is entirely environmentally sustainable.
All their hotels are above water.
Yeah, and there's no indoor ski slopes, but the design of it is so clever, because it's about being as low impact as possible. They still have to use oil-based things at nighttime, but like during the day, everything's solar. The design of the buildings themselves are to reduce heat. Buildings are actually very close together to also cool down everything just by using shade. It's a novel concept instead of air conditioning, but cars are underground. So the top level is entirely pedestrian. It's very cool if you want to check it out.
I want to live there.
Well, that's something that I feel like public transit or whatever, I think it is just going to kind of, this is another thing I've kind of, I guess, about as far as the world changing and activism and stuff is like that, you know, I'm not saying like just technology will save us all, but the march of technology really is hugely instrumental in so many things. And they're already talking about self-driving cars, right? And like soon that'll be a thing. And to drive your own car, your insurance rates will be through the roof. So that won't be a thing you can really do anymore. And once every car is self-driving, it'll just be an Uber world. Like, you won't even own a car. You'll just call a car and it'll drive you somewhere.
The other thing about self-driving cars is that just by pure data and pure like navigation from a above ground sort of way that human beings can't think like, the efficiency of it and is going to be so much higher, right? So like fuel economy, fuel waste, carbon emissions are going to be cut significantly by self-driving cars. Self-driving electric cars, now you got something.
Right. And if there's just cars in the system and you do call them in an Uber style with an app or something, then yeah, you don't need all these like parking lots and places to keep your cars. There's just cars in service around.
And going back to like real estate, imagine how many more places people would have to live if we didn't have fucking parking lots. You know, but to answer your question in a much more realistic way, Mike, look at downtown Barcelona. Downtown Barcelona existed before cars were a thing, and it's amazing. Like, it is a very functional, walkable. It's not a grid. It's a bunch of swirls, and it's much more organic looking. It's like the grid system for cities happen when cars happen, right? And when things were walkable, people designed things in a much more fractal way. They're just like, it's funny, is like if you look at tribes, basically tribes are organized in fractals, and like, you know, as soon as the automobile was invented, like it's like grids became necessary, and now we tend to think of cities as grids. So, I don't know.
Well, another thing, too, with cars that gets me almost daily is... pedestrians and bicyclists think people in cars are assholes, and people in cars think bicyclists and pedestrians are assholes, but the people in cars are the assholes. That's all there is to it. They're in the murder device. They can kill you. Yeah. They are the ones that need to be careful. They're the ones that need to be vigilant. Like, they're the ones who can kill you.
An asshole, though.
It does when it's a like someone not being paying attention or whatever. If I don't pay attention and I'm on my bicycle and you're not paying attention in your car, I'm the one who's dead.
What if you're not paying attention and you go out in front of a driver, in front of a car, in a way where the car couldn't have stopped? Like, yeah. Then you're the asshole, and now this driver's got to live his life knowing that he killed you because you weren't paying attention.
Absolutely, yeah. But what if that driver's driving a tank?
Which they are. I mean, it's like you're literally driving a weapon around. Yeah. Like, that's where I just can't see it that way, because cars can murder you, and I don't think people that drive cars think of it that way. They don't think of themselves as driving a weapon around, and they are. And every day, like, I think it ties into physiology of just traveling without moving. Like, you're not supposed to be able to just sit there and go faster than you ever should have been able to go and be invincible, but you can. And people, like, that's what it's like, road rage and stuff. Like, every day, it just happened today, where, like, the light changes and all the pedestrians are trying to cross. We were just over here at King and Portland. And this guy is, like, turning. He's halfway in the intersection. And he's just, like, inching forward. And he's like, get out of my way, pedestrians. And I'm like, you are a piece of shit. Yeah, well, you are awful.
In that case, that guy is the asshole, because he's also breaking the law. Like, you're not supposed to do that.
But it happens every day, but, all the time.
You know, it's a perspective thing, because, like, I'm a cyclist. My wife's a driver, right? So her and I have very different rage when driving. Like, I'm always thinking of the cyclist point of view, but I fucking hate a cabbie, no matter what vehicle I'm in. Ah, cabbies are the worst. Now, like, you might say, yeah, you're driving a weapon. Cabbies are fucking driving a nuclear weapon at all times, with everything broken. It's like they're going out of their way to fuck up everybody, and you know, to go back to, like, sort of for-profit models, a cabbie is a perfect small example of what happens when you're motivated by capital only. You will fucking bend every rule in the book to get an extra fare.
And I always think about that just in a larger sense, too. I mean, I don't know a ton about environmentalism and stuff, but it's clear that there are, like, climate changes and things are happening that are crazy. And, yeah, like, a cab is the perfect example. You just get these cabs that are just driving around all night, just burning fuel that is never coming back, just hoping that somebody will need a ride. Like, it's insanity. It's just cars in general, like, the whole thing. It's like, it's a mid-step where it's like, oh, we had CDs for a while and now they're gone. Like, it's not a sane system. It's cool that someone invented them, but then, yeah, we just ran buck wild with it, and now everyone has them, and they're everywhere, and, like, the future is going to look back and be like, what the fuck was that? They just went crazy with that. They didn't even think about what was going on.
And, you know, like, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not a tree hugger. I'm not somebody who's ever, like, I hate me a hippie, and I hate them because their opinion cannot be changed. But I've certainly come over to their side of thinking, just from a sheer looking at numbers, looking at the logic of the situation, and, like, understanding, like, how fundamentally flawed we are in this life we're living right now. And I think, like, the easiest way is to, number one, buy a hippie some soap. Just buy them some goddamn soap.
Stop rubbing crystals all over yourself.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Crystals don't work. Get some goddamn deodorant, cut your fucking hair, and pay attention. Secondly, is, like, honestly, look at the logic of things. I'm going to close on this. This is my last thing I'm going to say on this, is, like, just really think it all the way to its end on both sides. Think about the logical conclusion on the profit first side and the environment first side. And logically, one ends with the extinction of the human race, the other doesn't.
Yeah, I really feel like entitlement is like what I think of when I see like that guy who's inching his way around the corner too much in his car, instead of seeing himself as like, I'm this guy who's driving a car, this crazy device of the 20th, 21st century that will not exist soon, you know, like, instead of like, I'm a maniac that I'm even partaking in this, he's just like, I'm entitled to this, I deserve to have this car, I deserve to be this much of a dick,
He deserves to have the car. He worked hard, he earned it, he bought it.
Right.
But he doesn't deserve to be an asshole.
I don't know that he does, though. Like, is there any price you can put on, like, cars? Like when there's no more fossil fuels left. Like, well, it's okay, though. We paid for them. Like, you cannot pay for that.
So here's the thing, Keith. This is, like, coming from your perspective of not owning a car and walking around everywhere and taking transit, right? But like, if you come from the car owner and car buyer perspective, it's like, I bought this car, I paid for this car. This is what, you know, I was told growing up that I needed a car to get around, and it's better than transit. It's better than this because I have all this convenience with it. I have all this stuff, right? And it's really hard to say to somebody, well, guess what? You can't have that anymore, right? So I think a better bridge is like an Elon Musk who says, you know, like, okay, you can still have a car, but it's going to be electric, you know, and we're going to manufacture one, I forget, 2016 is going to be the consumer model for $30,000, and you can own, you know, an electric car. To me, that's a much more plausible transition than saying, like, you're a fucking asshole and don't own a car, right? Like, I think if you come to that conclusion on your own, great, right? Like, I came to that conclusion, I ride a bike wherever possible, I still own a car, though.
But it's not possible for some people. Like, I mean, with all due respect, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you have the freedom of luxury of time. When you need to get somewhere, you can take your time. Like, not everyone has that. People work, you know, 50 kilometers away, or like, how do you get there, you know?
Right. I mean, a lot of this stuff, though, is just taking for granted that the way society is now is getting into bigger stuff, but it's just how it has to be. Like, you know, that it has to be like that. Like, I don't know, I had this, like, vision once of, like, imagine if you live in the outskirts and you live in the weird whatever out in the world, especially in Canada, we have these huge stretches of land, like, you need a car, you'll just be dead.
For sure.
But what if you weren't allowed to bring cars into the city? Like, once you get in the city, you use the city's infrastructure, you use the transit in the city.
I completely agree with that, too.
I used to dream about, like, that as an idea of, like, a city that's, like, you park your car outside and then inside is like all walking or whatever, self-contained.
I mean, I think it's one of these things too, like it's gonna happen. Like, cars aren't gonna last.
well, the personal, like, I honestly believe that the days of the personal car are numbered. Now, recently gas just fell a shitload.
Yeah,
right?
Why did that happen?
Well, it's because America has now found enough sources of oil themselves that they're no longer importing as much oil. So now America and Canada are now the largest providers of oil within North America, meaning that the United States no longer has to import as much. What that means for Canada, though, is that our beautiful pipeline that we're trying to build is now, it's an environmental disaster, don't get me wrong. It's fucking shit. And the it loses 30% of the total energy used by the oil itself on transporting it down the pipeline. So basically, now that...
So we got to get some more ice road truckers.
Well, basically, now that this has happened, I'm hoping people will wake up and understand that this pipeline is a very fucking bad idea. You know, it was great when we all thought we were going to get rich off it. But, like, now... It's just an environmental disaster, and that's it. You know, there's very little to it now. Oil is cheap now. So that's, in a lot of ways, that's not going to help the getting rid of cars movement, other than, you know, you got to hope for people having a conscience.
Yeah, well, that's where, too, like, that's where, even again, like, even though I was, you know, weaned on Ayn Rand books and capitalism and stuff, like, that's where I do feel like regulations aren't the worst thing, because if you just go with a profit motive, like with cars and gas and stuff, it's like locusts just eating everything. Like, if that's all people are motivated by, then they're not going to make sane choices.
Well, and you know, Mark Twain, who I fucking love Mark Twain. He's the greatest human who ever walked this earth. Mark Twain said, you know...
You mean Samuel Clemens?
Samuel Clemens, thank you. Said that, you know, you, and I'm totally going to fuck this up because I'm kind of drunk and I don't really know the whole quote.
You're knocking over drinks drunk.
Yeah, I'm knocking over drinks drunk, but he said, you know, like, you can rely on common sense, but sense isn't exactly common. You know, being that most people don't really have the capacity to look at the bigger picture. And that's, unfortunately, that's kind of true.
That's where I feel like, yeah, like labeling and terminology gets to be so tricky. Because, like, me and Joel have been listening to a lot of Russell Brand lately. That was partially, like, Joel's idea for this podcast was, hey, yeah, this guy's funny and he talks about stuff. But Russell Brand, one of his things is he's like, I want socialism and I don't want people to act, you know, through individualism. And, like, just hearing the words riles me up, because I'm like, but to me, individualism is perfect. You want to be thoughtful about yourself and self, you know, aware of yourself, and, like, the individual is where everything starts. But I know what he means, because, like, with stuff like cars, like, he means that kind of individualism where it's like, I just got to get to work on time. I just got to do this. I need this for my life, and I don't want to think beyond that.
And it's so hard for most people. That's, you know, like, we all do that. It's like the convenience of life that we think is convenience. Yeah. How do you say, okay, I'm gonna abandon that because of my fucking moral compass? Fuck, man. I just ate a bunch of meat. I know it's wrong. I ate it. I love the shit out of it.
You know, pigs are smarter than dogs, they say.
Yeah, I'll eat the shit out of a dog too. I don't care.
Well, I guess so, we're wrapping up. But okay, let me pitch this idea. Now, I know these things have gotten a little radical. I'll bring it back down to earth. You know, because it's just like, yeah, these devices, they're too complicated. It's all crazy. What if we cut the bottoms out of our cars and we use our feet to make them work?
Like the Jetsons.
Yeah. Exactly like the Jetsons. I'm with you. That's a future we could all get behind.
All right, so we're all in agreement about that one.
Yeah.
Good.
Slacktivists.
Slacktivist! Hey, it's Keith with my post-show wrap-up. Something just, again, after we record the show, we just keep talking. We come up with different stuff. One thing I mentioned to Joel when we were just standing outside the bar about TTC and time transfers. Like, this is a very idiosyncratic story. So I was like, that's why I didn't bring it up, because no one can relate to this. But Joel was like, maybe you should have, because it's still a good point. So I will, is that I, just for years now, years and years, one of the things about me is I have to pee all the time. It's like a joke, like, Keith's going to pee again. But I finally, a couple of years ago, finally got the balls and the bravery to go to a doctor. And I had to go through all kinds of processes and went to a urologist, and they have this thing where they put a catheter in your urethra and artificially fill your bladder, do all these tests and stuff and scans and everything. And I learned that there's nothing they can do. There's a surgery they could do to help my bladder drain more normally or whatever, but it's not something that should be done to a younger person. You know, I should be like 60 before I get this done. So in the meantime, all I can do is pee all the time, and caffeine and alcohol exacerbates it, makes it much worse. So now that I live pretty far on the transit system, I have to watch how much I drink, because I can't get home otherwise. Like, once I get on a streetcar, like by Joel's house, I get on a streetcar, I go up the street, it connects at one of the train stations, and I take the subway home from there, and there's nowhere I can pee anywhere in that process. The whole west line of the TTC, the subway, has no bathrooms. One time it was so bad going out to my friend Craig's house that I had to go east. Like, I had to go the wrong way on the subway to get to one of the very rare spots where there's a bathroom. And it really is, like, it's really bad. It's, like, torturous. If you need to pee and you can't, you're just stuck. it's kind of awful. So that's just another little thing that time transfers, man. Jesus Christ. At least I could get the fuck off of the train, you know? I could get off the train and go to a bathroom and get back on the train and it wouldn't be a whole thing. And I know it doesn't sound like a big deal. Like, I also just put in another token, so it's another $3. But just, I mean, I have no goddamn money, you know? Like, I have a goddamn 7-Eleven cell phone, for fuck's sake. Like, all this stuff, it adds up. Day after day after day. And it's a benign thing, you know? It's like, I just want to be able to get off and get back on. It shouldn't be such a to-do. It shouldn't be such a weird shackle that makes me nearly piss my pants. So that's my somewhat embarrassing story. I hope you liked the episode. And one more time, just to finish things off, that URL for the petition is tinyurl.com/TTC petition. So if you're in Toronto and you're interested, please go check it out. tinyurl.com/TTC petition. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Traffic, a place.